Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We got to start. We got to pick up where we left off from yesterday's show. I know we've got the Attorney General of the state of Montana here in the house with us, but don't worry, there is a connection here. This does tie in with a very big news story that we want to talk about. But first off, Attorney General Austin Knutson, great to have you on the show. Did you see this Missoula story that I shared on our website?
Indeed I did, Aaron.
Heroic Missoula man targeted by the city of Missoula for cleaning up the Clark Fork River.
This is the most upside-down nonsense I have ever heard, and only the city of Missoula could pull this one off.
Here's a guy walking his dog on the Clark Fork River. There's human waste, feces, drug needles, all sorts of garbage on the beautiful, beloved Clark Fork River. Yes, a river runs through it in Missoula, and it's getting trashed most likely by the transients that the city continues to encourage to invade the city. And they go after the guy picking up the trash.
The river runs through the garbage is what this is. I mean, this is just the epitome of goofy, Aaron. I don't even know what to say about it. Yeah, you've got a good Samaritan just picking up garbage. And rather than going after the folks who are dumping the trash, we're going to go after the guy cleaning it up.
Yeah, and the city's own trash policies are inviting all of these transients from all these other places to basically invade the city, and they're trashing the place. I remember we talked with city council member Sandy Vasica a while back. She said, you can't even take your kids on a walk through the park because transients are defecating in the water fountain. You can't even get a drink of water in the hot summer sun in the Garden City.
This is a direct... This is what happens when you've got the Ninth Circuit getting out of hand here. We've got the City of Grants Pass case. If you don't know what that is, we have a Ninth Circuit ruling that basically said cities in the Ninth Circuit can't crack down on transients. They can't crack down on homeless folks living out in the middle of the town getting into trouble. That somehow that's a violation of the cruel and unusual Eighth Amendment, which is... utter nonsense. There's no historical precedent for that. That's not what the Eighth Amendment said. Eighth Amendment says prohibition against cruel and unusual punishments. That has to do with capital punishment. It's got nothing to do with homelessness. But here we are. This is what happens, and Missoula's paying for it.
Yeah, and Bozeman's paying for it, too, because they've had some shanty towns kind of popping up, some transient camps with devastating consequences. A young girl was raped by a transient living in a tent on one of their encampments.
This is happening all over the Rocky Mountain West, and that's because this is the Ninth Circuit, right? That's the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for the Western U.S. That's the reason this is happening in California, in Montana, in Oregon, all over.
Yeah, and if you missed the news lately here, Attorney General Knutson is leading the charge to try to reverse this nonsense. AG Knutson leads coalition calling on Supreme Court to reverse restrictions on homeless camp bans. So we'll talk about that and much more right after this quick break right here with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and jump in on the conversation with leading state officials.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Da plane. Debanking. We're going to get to that topic here as well with Attorney General Austin Knutson. Do you remember that commercial back in the day? What was that for? Da plane. What was that? I forget.
You got me.
Tortilla chips or something.
Normally I'm good at pop culture references like that, but you lost me.
Well, you got a serious job now. Thankfully, I don't. So I can joke around about this kind of stuff. Attorney General Austin Knutson in the house. So we were talking about, you know, these homeless encampments, and, you know, we've covered this issue a lot because if you build it, they will come. And that's what these liberal cities like Bozeman and Missoula, that's what they're in. Missoula's been doing it for 20, 30 years now. They've been encouraging the interstate, oftentimes criminal transient element to move here and take advantage of these services, often to the disadvantage of local homeless folks, right, who then have to suffer because of all the other people that come in here. But I've slightly defended Bozeman before, because they'll say, well, we can't really crack down on these homeless encampments because of the Ninth Circuit. They're partially right. I say partially right because, no, there's things they could do. Like, if you don't allow parking on that side of the street, you could not allow parking on the other side of the street.
Yeah.
Where those homeless encampments are. But they don't do it. But let's take away this Ninth Circuit excuse. That's why you're leading this fight at the Ninth Circuit.
It is. Because what we have seen, to your point, we definitely have seen some liberal local city councils hide behind this ruling, right? So if you're not familiar with the case, it's the city of Grants Pass versus Johnson. You basically have had a couple of western cities that have tried to ban homeless encampments. Okay? They've tried to crack down and clean up some of their downtowns and
city parks
and the transient problem. And so what happened? They got sued in a class action. It went all the way to the Ninth Circuit. And the Ninth Circuit said, yeah, no, because that's cruel and unusual, you can't prevent people from sleeping outside unless you have adequate city facilities to house everyone. Well, I mean, you talk about legislating from the bench. The Ninth Circuit just created a requirement that cities have to have places to put people. Talk about a tax burden on your local citizens. And this is just crazy. The Eighth Amendment does not prohibit homelessness. It does not prohibit cities from cracking down on transients. It's a prohibition on cruel and unusual capital punishment.
And somehow they twisted that into, oh, yeah, you can't tell transients to stop creating permanent encampments inside of city parks so that moms and dads don't feel safe bringing their little kids to a city park that they pay dearly for in local property taxes.
You city can't prevent that transient person from defecating at 10 a.m. in front of your children on the sidewalk. That's cruel and unusual. This is insanity. The Ninth Circuit just got it wrong. They blew the call, and we're all paying for it here. Like I said, you got liberal towns like Missoula and Bozeman who are hiding behind this and just throwing their hands up going, nothing we can do about it. Come on in, transients. This place is super cool.
It's amazing, too. I think I read that you just filed your 38th lawsuit against the Biden administration and oftentimes leading a coalition of states to do so. But it's just amazing to me that you have to go fight not only to defend against this invasion of transients from Portland or Seattle or wherever, but you have to go fight to defend against this invasion of illegal aliens. And meanwhile, we had yet another record-breaking year for fentanyl seizures.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one thing after another from the federal government here, Aaron. You're exactly right. So we did just file our 38th lawsuit since I've taken office against the federal government. And I get asked sometimes, like, well, great. What do we need more lawsuits for? Super. You're filing more lawsuits. What good does that do? Well, I want people to understand that's literally the only arrow in the state's quiver. The only remedy we have against an overbearing federal government that's overstepping its power is to take them to court. Your state legislature can't fight them. The governor and I work together a little bit, but honestly, I'm the chief law enforcement officer. It's my job to protect Montana's rights, and that's why we sue. So, I mean, if people want to argue about 38 lawsuits, that's why we do it. But, man, to your point, I mean, whether it's overreaching on environmental issues, on energy issues, or ignoring federal law on the southern border, which is leading to our state being overrun by cartels and fentanyl. I mean, it's just one thing after another here, Aaron.
And, of course, the fentanyl comes from where? The Mexican drug cartels? Yes. But where do they get it from? They get it from China. You were one of the first to step out in a big way to confront the communist Chinese. And this app known as TikTok, what I call a communist Chinese intelligence collection platform and also a propaganda tool.
You're a military guy, Aaron. You see this for exactly what it is. This is a cyber op. I mean, there's no question about it. TikTok is a tool of the Chinese Communist Party, period, hard stop. When I first took office, we got numerous consumer protection complaints against a lot of social media companies and their data collection policies. But the more we looked into and investigated TikTok, the more horrified we became. I mean, everyone wants to collect data, right? But TikTok doesn't give you a choice. They are collecting your data. The second you get on them, the second you agree to their user terms, you're giving them your keystrokes on your phone. That means your passwords. You're giving them your facial recognition data. They're scanning all your other apps. Think about that. If you have a banking app on your phone, Do you have a healthcare app on your phone with your personal information on it? A lot of people do. Guess who's got that information now? TikTok. And who's TikTok owned by? ByteDance, which is owned and controlled by the Chinese Communist Party.
And by the way, the pro-transgender propaganda, the pro-suicide propaganda that your kids can see on TikTok.
Not to see, but that's pumped to them.
That's pumped to them, deliberately fed to them. Chinese kids don't see that in China.
Exactly.
They pump it to your kids in America. But the House just yesterday passed a bill to force the sale of TikTok, if I understand it right, to a non-Chinese company, to basically an American company. Now the Senate's looking at it. We'll get the AG's take on that.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Debanking. I told you we were going to talk about debanking. And then, of course, I threw it out there. What was that? What was the commercial that I remember from back in the day? Luckily, our listeners are all over it here. See, that's why. Look, I don't have all the answers, Austin, A.G. Knutson, but our listeners do. John in Malta says, it's from Fantasy Island.
That was a deep cut.
That was, yeah. I mean, Brian and Billings, D-Plane, was part of the monologue and spoken by the little guy on the Fantasy Island series aired during the 80s, or was it 70s? But I remember a commercial. So I had to pull this. Do you remember this Dunkin' Donuts commercial? I think your wife, Christy, remembers this one. She's nodding her head here. So I had to pull it up because I know you guys remember Fantasy Island, but I remember this commercial.
Dunkin' Donuts introduces new minis. They're smaller than our regular donuts, so now you don't have to choose just one. You can have more of your favorite.
Yeah, so you can have Duplain, or the other flavor.
The bank.
By the way, have you been to Proof Donuts in Billings yet?
No, I didn't even know it was there. We walked by it
yesterday.
Oh, my
goodness. Don't go. Don't
go. Bad news.
You'll be like, deplane. Yeah. No, these, the bacon maple, you're going to be, man, they're
it
good.
It looked really good. We walked by because we had just been at the coffee shop around the corner. We had about 15 minutes to kill, and we were walking downtown and had a cup of coffee, and we walked by.
It's good.
That's new. I don't remember that
they
being
even
there.
Had this elk breakfast. Travis got to try it, too, this elk breakfast sausage sandwich. All right, before we get down that path, though, we'll get to debanking. Debanking.
Donuts. Let's talk about coffee and donuts.
Let's go back to TikTok here. So what do you think of this House legislation? I saw both Congressman Rosendale and Congressman Zinke voted basically in support of this bill to get TikTok out of communist Chinese hands if it's going to continue to be allowed in America.
Look, I'm glad that Congress finally followed Montana's lead. The reason Montana did this a year ago is because Congress wouldn't act. Congress had hearings. They were wagging their finger at ByteDance and at TikTok, but they did nothing. And so here we are a year later, and they finally caught up to where Montana has been for a year. So, look, I'm glad they finally did it. And it didn't just pass. It passed really, really overwhelmingly, even, dare I say, bipartisanly, which shows you there's even Democrats in Washington, D.C. who understand the scope of this problem. TikTok is bad news. I don't care how much you like your funny reels and your funny videos. You have to understand what that thing is. They are using it not only for spying, but they're also using it to poison our kids. And I don't throw that term around lightly, Aaron. I mean, we did our own internal testing at the state DOJ here. If you set up a TikTok account and tell TikTok that you are a brand new 13-year-old boy user, you're going to start getting graphic violence, graphic drug use, suicide content, pornography content in under 10 minutes.
All the same stuff that they don't allow to target their own Chinese children with. Instead,
TikTok
they'll get educational videos.
It's a completely different program in China. They won't let the version that we have here in the U.S., they do not allow in China. Now, why is that?
Yeah, and you made a great point, too, that, hey, we keep waiting for Washington to do something. No, we don't wait for them to do something because you called this out. The Montana legislature voted to ban TikTok, first state in the nation. Governor Gianforte signed it into law. Now you're having to defend this also at the Ninth Circuit because of liberal Judge Don Malloy.
And look, I'll take a victory lap here. We wrote that legislation, Aaron. That came out of my office based on the investigation that we did at our State Office of Consumer Protection. We looked at that and went, wow, maybe Congress will do something. Well, they didn't. And then we went, well, what can we do? Like, is there a legal path we have to try to do something here? And that's why we came up with that state legislation over a year ago.
Well, and it was interesting because then Liberal Senator John Tester flip-flopped on TikTok. Well,
not John.
And yeah, never, no. never. He could start his own flip-flop company after he gets out of the Senate. But flip-flop Flat Top also, not only did he flip-flop on TikTok, he claimed that he supported banning the Chinese from owning farmland in America. Well, what's happening with that, John? Nothing. State Senator Ken Bogner got the bill across the finish line in Montana. The governor signed it into law. Why can't you get the job done, John? Oh, you've been getting a lot of campaign contributions from some Chinese-connected companies. Flip-flop on TikTok and more.
And understand, I mean, TikTok is spending a tremendous amount of money in Washington, D.C. lobbying right now. I mean, they are throwing cash around like crazy trying to make this thing go away.
I remember seeing billboards, and they were lobbying the legislature in Helena. I still want to know who paid for all of that. Because I'll guarantee you can push it, right? You can point to how TikTok is not only interfering in elections here, but they're interfering in our Montana legislature as well. Debanking. Debank. I'll stop with the deplane references from now on, I promise. The debanking, you and I have been at the SHOT Show several years. You were there a long time before I was. You've been a gun guy since you were a kid on the High Line. And so you've been at the SHOT Show for, decades, I imagine now. But they made the point. How this whole woke debanking push started with the gun industry. They started to say, okay, we're not going to finance gun businesses. We're not going to finance gun shops. We're not even going to finance gun component manufacturers. But now this debanking push, I was chatting with a senior vice president for the Alliance Defending Freedom yesterday. They're even trying to debank Christian organizations now, taking the same philosophy to debank anybody that they disagree with.
So, Aaron, this really is the definition of fascism here, okay? I mean, that's a term that gets thrown around a lot, but a lot of people historically don't even know what that term means. Fascism is basically the melding of government and private business. That's what this whole ESG push is. ESG, environmental social governance. What that is you've got liberal woke interests in Congress and in the U.S. Senate that can't get their agenda passed through the Congress. For instance, gun control, right? Progressives want extreme, draconian gun control. Well, they can't get it. They don't have the votes. So what do? They run to business and they pressure businesses, especially big businesses, to try to do it for them. And that's what we're seeing in a lot of these big banks. Is it your local banks? No. But we are definitely seeing it in the large banking sectors. I get kind of sideways with some of these groups for calling them out by name, but I'm going to do it. Wells Fargo, JP Morgan Chase.
They got a building, two buildings away from us down here.
They like me. Citibank, U.S. Bank. These are some bad actors. If you are doing something that they think is yucky, like, I don't know, making AR-15s, making parts. I mean, you're making a scope mount, a widget, an optic, not even necessarily a firearm, but just a widget. If you're involved in that yucky gun industry, well, we're going to make sure that you have a really hard time. And talk about a great, safe investment to make right now in the firearms industry. Aaron, and you know this, find me an industry that's more highly regulated in this country than firearms.
Yeah, that's right. By the way, one of those major big national banks that you just mentioned that's down the street, I'll guarantee you they probably have some employees right now that are forced to sit through some DEI seminar doing online training, get a whole bunch of woke propaganda shoved down their throats right now. No joke. I know
100%.
I know their employees have been forced to sit through that kind of garbage. Let's see. I was thinking about this, too. So many different topics we can cover. And by the way, if you want to jump in on the conversation, you can give us a call, 406-294-0970, or message us on our Montana Talks app. Unlike some politicians, Attorney General Austin Knutson, not afraid to come in and take your phone calls, mix it up with folks all across Montana. All these fights that you're taking on, all these fights that you're leading on, whether it's the invasion of transients into Bozeman and Missoula, whether it's the invasion of illegal aliens and the Mexican drug cartels, you've got a target on your back. The radical left is coming after you. They filed this phony complaint against you. They're basically not only trying to remove you from the ballot in 2024, but if they strip away your law license, could they remove you from the AG's office right now? The Supreme Court, in a unanimous decision, rejected Colorado's effort to remove Donald Trump from the ballot. If even the leftists on the United States Supreme Court wouldn't remove Trump from the ballot, I don't think they're going to take too kindly to these folks here in Montana trying to, or in California, really, is where it's coming from, trying to remove you from the ballot or other Republican AGs.
It's a weird situation. So, I had an ethics complaint filed against me, and not just an ethics complaint, a 41 count ethics complaint, which even for, I mean, by lawyer standards is crazy. But let me back up. So, if your listeners don't understand, lawyers in Montana, we are governed by a code of ethics. And that is kind of policed internally within the state bar, but also by the state Supreme Court via the Commission on Practice. So if a lawyer does something unethical, they get reported to the Commission on Practice, which does an investigation and then potentially takes action. And that's absolutely necessary. But you know what that's for, Aaron? That's for lawyers who commit malpractice and steal money or have inappropriate sexual relationships with their clients, because that's highly unethical, right? If you steal your client's money, generally, that's a bad thing. So what am I accused of doing? Well, I said mean things about the state Supreme Court. I hurt
you disagreed with them on policy.
I hurt their feelers is what I did. And so we had this out-of-state lawyer from California come in. She ginned up this trial lawyer-led 41-count ethics complaint against me. It is absolute garbage. It's bunk. But you're right, Aaron. They hate me. I mean, the trial lawyers in this state, the trial bar in the state bar association in this state, they hate my guts because I stand up to them. I call them out for their woke nonsense. I pay my dues under protest every year. But to practice law in Montana, I have to be part of the Montana Bar Association. Boy, that seems like that should be unconstitutional under the First Amendment. Don't I have the right to associate, to freely associate with who I want? Apparently not in Montana.
And you're an elected statewide official speaking on behalf of the people of Montana and on behalf of the state of Montana from a legal standpoint. So you have every right. You have a mandate to speak out on some of these policy issues. All right. Hold that thought. One of our listeners asked a question earlier. Hey, if businesses are hiring illegal aliens, what can we do to go after businesses that hire illegal aliens? So we got questions like that and more to follow after this.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
This week, the USDA finalized its Product of the USA rule for meat and poultry. National Cattlemen's Beef Association's Kent Backus is encouraged by the action.
So this is something that NCBA has been actively engaged in for several years. And this has been a big loophole for many years that has prevented U.S. cattle producers from being able to capitalize on that demand in the marketplace. We want to be able to have a voluntary way of differentiating our products in the marketplace and doing so in a way that is trade compliant.
So what is in the rule?
What we have seen initially is that if an end user, a packer or retailer, wants to use the specific claims of Product of USA and made in the USA, those are generic claims, then that has to come from animals born, raised, slaughtered, and processed in the United States. I think one of the things that we're going to look at a little bit closely too is what are referred to as qualified claims. So that is, let's say if you have a product where part of that production process is in the U.S., then I think there are some specific ways where that will be labeled. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of questions.
The rule will now have a 60-day comment window, and compliance for the new rule will begin January 1st, 2026, but USDA is encouraging meat and poultry processors to start to implement it before then. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana Talks.
I'm getting the full Schmeckfest smackdown here. Christy, you want to throw on the mic? No, she doesn't want to throw on the microphone.
You chicken.
Come on, tell me about Schmeckfest. What's your favorite thing about Schmeckfest?
The desserts.
The desserts.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So awesome. And the quilts. I love quilts.
Ah, yes, yes.
They have an auction.
Yeah. You don't know Schmeckfest? It's a giant German culture festival up in Luster, Montana. The cultural and economic hub of Eastern Montana that is Luster. At the Luster Christian School, and it's just a great community event. It's huge.
I'm going to make it. I got to get there this year. I'm going to be at the Farm Expo that Friday morning anyway, so why not pop over to Luster for the event that Friday night, March 22nd, 5 to 7 p.m. It's the big fundraiser for the Luster Christian School, so that's going to be cool. I'm looking forward to it. I'm trying to think. I went to a county spelling bee. I was in the spelling bee. Fourth grade, maybe fifth grade, I can't remember, but
it's a long ways up there, but I'm telling you, man, go hungry. You are going to be well fed.
That'll be my cheat day, that's for sure. All right, let's see, let's go to Jesse in Laurel on the phone lines. Jesse, did you have a quick question or comment for the AG?
I did, yeah. I was wondering what everyday Montanans, average Montanans, can do about what's going on in Washington, other than our vote and maybe voting with our dollars. What else can we do about what's going on?
Great question. Thanks for the call.
Well, I would say two things, Jesse. I mean, number one, talk to your be loud about it, right? Talk to your friends. Talk to your neighbors. Talk to people that you know. Keep this alive and keep people talking about it. The other thing is get a hold of your congresspeople. Get a hold of your senators. Get a hold of their staff. Make noise and let them know, hey, we're paying attention to this stuff. We're watching. This isn't just something you're going to get a pass on. This is important to us. This is important to my family. And I'm telling you, that has an effect on legislators. I don't care if they're local legislators or if they're national legislators. Constituent input matters.
Yeah, I've said this before. Don't just call into the radio show and put a yard sign up and think that I'm good. No, I mean, yard signs are nice, but they don't win elections.
Here's what I tell lots of people in the firearms world, right? Because I kind of live in that world, and I know lots of people in that world. I get asked lots of times, well, what can firearms owners be doing? My advice is the same for any freedom-loving American, not just a firearm owner. We tend to think somebody else is going to do this for us. We tend to think somebody else is going to make the fight for us. Oh, there's somebody smarter. There's somebody better. I'm not good enough. I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah, you do. You're a civic-minded citizen. Get involved. Don't think somebody else is going to carry this flag for you. Do it yourself.
Had a couple of messages that came in on the Montana Talks app here. John and Jordan, Washington isn't going after TikTok because of information gathering. Our government is mad they don't control the messaging and info gathering themselves. Another listener that goes by the initials FJB, Frank something.
That's weird.
Frank something, Buford maybe? I don't know. Good morning, Aaron. Thank you for the great show and the topic right now. I'm all in favor of banning TikTok 100%, but how do we make sure the next company isn't some dirtbag like Zuckerberg or Gates, et cetera? That's a good question, because we see the election interference coming from Facebook and Google, everything across the board.
That actually is a really, really good point, because I'm more concerned about China again, because we have seen this multiple times. Canada is trying to get back control of its rare earth mineral mining, because China has basically monopolized the world supply on rare earth minerals. Well, what are rare earth minerals? Well, that little thing in your pocket called a smartphone, all of our advanced military weaponry, we have to have rare earth minerals for a lot of the computing power. China has completely cornered the world market on those minerals all over the world.
Especially for our optics, as I understand.
Absolutely.
It, yeah.
Canada's trying to get back control of that, so they passed a law that said, okay, we're no longer doing business with Chinese mining companies. Well, what are these Chinese companies doing? They're forming Canadian shell companies and pretending to be Canadian. I mean, it's just, it's hilarious, but it's also incredibly deceitful. And you're right I forget the person's name.
It was the FJB guy.
I don't know what that stands for.
Yeah. All right, let's get back into the phone lines here. We got Greg in White Sulphur. Greg, what's going on? Did you have a quick question or comment?
Yeah, by the way, I can't hear Austin anymore. But anyway.
Okay. I must be a button I pushed here. I was trying to limit some background noise. So, anyway, go ahead.
Okay. I've heard lately even it was Idaho that was talking about not being able to get the proper chemicals to do lethal injections. And I've heard about it in other states in the past, too, that they've had to, you know, postpone putting somebody down because of it. Well, I have a different idea on the subject. Is instead of putting something in, as in chemicals to do a lethal injection, take something out, and that'd be all of the person's blood, and then test the blood to make sure it's clean, it isn't, you know, got a disease or something, and then donate the blood to the blood bank, and tell the guy while he's dying, he'll be just as dead, but tell him, hey, you know what, you're finally doing something positive with your miserable life.
Oh, man, that's crazy. I wonder why they're having the shortage of the chemicals there, but then again, we look at inflation, supply chains, we look at, all sorts of stuff.
It's more than that. Yeah, So first of all, I appreciate the sentiment, but I mean, removing somebody's blood, I think that would run us afoul of the Eighth Amendment prohibition against cruel and unusual punishments. But what you're saying is true. A lot of the states that do lethal injection are having a hard time getting the proper chemicals to do it because drug companies have figured out that their drugs are being used for lethal injection. They don't like that, so they stop making them.
They probably have people trying to target them over it.
Absolutely. Literally is functionally why we do not have the death penalty in Montana right now. It's still on the books. But because we have in statute a drug protocol, we have to use a specific type of drug. Well, the drug companies just stopped making those.
Interesting.
Which means we don't have the death penalty here in Montana.
Which also, you could also argue this is just another way that the woke left is using every means necessary to target things and companies.
Absolutely.
To push their agenda.
Yeah.
If they're against the death penalty,
yep.
this is another round in the chamber to go after the death penalty.
I got deeply involved in that during my time in the legislature, and then two sessions ago as the AG, we tried fixing the death penalty in Montana so that we could actually use it. Or that prosecutors could actually have some leverage to help some of these victims' families. The bill died. We had some moderate Republicans that got uncomfortable and got scared by this. But we could fix this very easily. There's other state language that has held up. It's not cruel and unusual. We could fix the death penalty in Montana. But right now, folks, we do not have a legally operable death penalty in Montana.
All right. And meanwhile, we've got illegal aliens running rampant all across the country. Let's go to Dan in Kalispell next up. Dan, what's on your mind? Quick question or comment. Thanks for calling.
Well, I think the caller before kind of answered or asked the same question or mentioned it. But, there's enough wealthy people here that could be used by the Chinese to buy TikTok and make it look legit. Like somebody by the name of Biden comes to mind, but he's in bed with them, so it would be able to even be hit.
Good point. Or Zuckerberg or Bill Gates. I mean, you know, Bill Gates wants us eating bugs and all sorts of crazy nonsense that's been publicly documented already. I threw it out on Twitter, Libs of TikTok, Kaya, however you pronounce her name. Hey, maybe somebody like Elon Musk could buy it, or maybe the backers of Rumble, or maybe, you know, True Social, maybe they could purchase it. But then I've heard that China may still try to hold on to the algorithm, and the algorithm is the engine inside the vehicle. So if you're going to buy the vehicle, you better get the engine along with it.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to be worried about here. You're exactly right. We have to be worried about shell corporations. We have to be worried about the Chinese Communist Party keeping their fingers in this thing and still collecting data. Because, I mean, my job is I oversee consumer protection in Montana. I mean, ultimately, that's my nexus into this argument. And if they're collecting data from Montanans without our consent, that's a violation of consumer protection. That's likely a violation of our right to privacy. You want my data, you better ask me for it. You don't just get to hack into my phone, basically, and take whatever you want. That's the concern here. But you bring up some great points.
So we had the question from Right On John and Bozeman about what about the businesses that are hiring illegal aliens? I want to get your take on that. Plus, you've got these so-called nonprofit organizations that are dumping so-called refugees into places like Billings, Montana. What can our state do about that? I feel like our state legislators, through interim committees, can haul these people before an interim committee hearing. I feel like DPHHS should be auditing these folks. I feel like something's got to be done here, but I know our hands are a little tied because basically Joe Biden and John Tester and their State Department green-lighted this whole deal.
I mean, the limitation we have here in the state ultimately is the Constitution, right? And that's what we have to fall back on.
Hold that thought. I see we got to take our quick break. This is our shortest break of the hour, and we'll get back to that topic and more callers on the phone lines here with Attorney General Austin Knutson right after this.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, before we get to our next caller, I know we had to kind of quickly wrap up before that last break there, but yeah, A.G. Knutson, what can the state do to push back on these so-called refugees that are being dumped in places like Billings, Montana?
Honestly, Aaron, there's not a lot we can do. The U.S. Constitution makes it very clear that that's a power that's delegated and reserved to the federal government. Your state government does not have a lot of authority in these international diplomatic and immigration matters. Now, I don't mean to keep saying I. The State Department of Justice, which I currently am elected to oversee, we have the Office of Consumer Protection. And there is some ability under state statutes to investigate nonprofit organizations to make sure they're following the law. Now, does that mean I can roll into Billings and investigate the religious nonprofit that's advocating for and trying to facilitate bringing in they're not illegals. They're bringing in
so-called refugees is what I say. Because some of them may be legit refugees.
Right.
Some of them may not. We just can't trust the Biden administration on either front.
And I've heard so many different stories from different people. Well, I heard it's these people. I heard it's these people. I'm not able to track any of that down. So functionally, I can investigate a nonprofit, but I can't step in and say, no, you can't do what you're doing here in your mission. Also, with companies hiring, that question was asked. That's a really tricky one under federal law. And I've researched this myself because I get asked this question a lot. It's currently illegal for any business in the country to hire an illegal immigrant. Okay, hard stop. However, under another section of federal law, they say, well, a business can't ask if a person is an illegal immigrant, because that's mean and that's bad. So you've literally got two conflicting laws on the federal side.
And the Biden administration is taking any illegal right now and giving them a piece of paper and releasing them into the country. So it muddy. And then Elon Musk tried to hire only American citizens to work for SpaceX, and the Biden administration sued him over.
You can't do that. Yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's interesting. Well, let's go next to Mike in Whitefish. Mike, did you have a quick question or comment?
Aaron, Austin, good morning. My question was, is there any law like eminent domain that we could take, the state of Montana could take back its land from these Chinese entities, American Prairie Reserve or the Sierra Club?
Interesting question. Yeah, thanks for that. That's especially now that the law is on the books about foreign-owned land.
That's a really interesting question there. I mean, so just putting on my lawyer hat and my former real estate lawyer hat, you've got a couple different issues there. Let's start with the APR. That's actually federally owned land, and there are federal laws governing the use of federal land, which led to my lawsuit against the federal government for allowing APR to lease that federal land. There are federal laws that say federal land has to be used for agriculture. It has to be used for grazing of livestock. Bison is not livestock under the federal law. I mean that's how we got there. Okay, can we eminent domain that against the federal government? Pretty dubious. I don't know if that dog would hunt. Now, if you're talking about privately owned fee land, that just, you know, owned by whoever, Joe Blow, Montana citizen, that he decides to sell it to the Chinese Communist Party, There probably are some legal routes that the legislature can take there to prevent that from happening. Can we eminent domain it? I think that'd be tough. I don't know if that would withstand constitutional scrutiny. But there probably are some restrictions that the legislature can place on that. Senator Bogner did that last session. We haven't had a case to test that yet in front of the courts and see how that's going to go. But that's my legal answer.
Well, and it's especially interesting since they were purchasing land near our, or trying to purchase land near our nuclear
total
missile silos.
Total coincidence.
Spy balloon overhead, nuclear missile silos undergoing the first major transformation of our nuclear missile silos since the 1960s
and
70s.
Would you stop being a conspiracy theorist?
Nothing to see here. Come nothing on. To see here, folks. Let's see. Let's go next. Les in Livingston next up. Did you have a quick question or comment?
Yes, sir, for AG. When Governor Gianforte was running for office, and thank God he won, he said one of the things he was going to really check into is all the environmental, I guess you call them agencies or companies and in Montana. And I think he said there was something like 300 of them. And I was just wondering if he's done something like that and looking into these, because all they do is make up some name and then they you for everything under the sun.
That's right. That's a good question. We'll have to ask the governor about that as well, but kind of ties in with what we opened up with this morning about all the trash and the human feces on the banks of the Clark Fork River. Where are all these environmental groups that are housed in Missoula? Why aren't they down there with a sack picking up trash?
Well, and so from my perspective, legally it's even worse than that. Here in Montana, we have got an entire industry of environmental law firms who all they do is sue the state. And they usually sue us in federal court. Well, why would they do that? It's because they get their attorney's fees paid. You are guaranteed an income from the federal government. Win or lose, you sue the state of Montana and you lose, you're still going to get your attorney's fees paid in the federal court system. It's insanity. What it's done is you've incentivized these liberal lawyers who couldn't make it in the private sector, but they're going to go and sue the state over environmental matters and make themselves a living.
And why are they able to do so? Because of liberal judges like Don Malloy, who will support a Chinese company called TikTok, but won't support your logging company in Montana, right?
And so every logging project, we get sued. Everyone.
But again, that goes back. Who puts these guys on the bench? John Tester. So the Senate race is that important.
Absolutely. Great point.
And we've got an opportunity. We've got two Supreme Court seats up. The huge importance of that. So, A.G. Knutson, great to see you as
Thanks,
always.
Buddy.
Thanks for taking phone
appreciate
calls and more. Maybe we'll see you at Schmeckfest or the Farm Expo in
if
Plentywood.
I can get up there, I'm there, man.